an interest in your prayers as we come before you. The Lord would bless us together. Did anybody watch the news this week? I don't blame you if you didn't. For the most part, it's much of the same, isn't it? But on the other hand, there's some other things that's happening that can really cause a lot of concern, isn't there? But no matter how much concern that we might feel about the things that are in this world, we should have no concern whatsoever as to whether or not God is able to handle the situation. Anybody, I asked this question at the beginning of the song service, but I'll ask it again. Anybody been blessed this week? Has there ever been a time that you trusted the Lord and He let you down? No. Thank you. I appreciate that response. So, no matter what we go through in life, whether things are happening the way we want them to or not, as long as we're trusting in the Lord, that's the best place for us to be, isn't it? Seems like that's kind of been a theme here lately in a lot of the things we've been talking about, especially in the book of James, as we've gone through the studies about the tribulations, the trials that we face, and all those kinds of things. So where our mind and heart are set upon as far as what we're trusting makes an awful lot of difference in how we're able to face those situations in life. I want to notice a couple of verses in Proverbs this morning to begin our thoughts. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, I'm going to begin reading in verse 30, Proverbs 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. We know that there's a lot of counsel and worldly wisdom that people try to use against the Lord. But according to our text, it will have no effect as far as the Lord Himself. Oh, they can create a lot of disturbance in this world. They can create a lot of anxiety and trouble for us. But it will not stand against the Lord. Okay? He's above all of that, isn't He? And as long as we set our affection on things above the Lord in all of His ability, it helps us in when we realize our own inabilities. Now, if we dwell upon our inabilities, if we dwell upon our weaknesses, if we dwell upon things that we don't have or can't do or whatever, then we're going to be anxious, we're going to be downcast, we're going to be weakened. You know, your attitude about things affects your health physically, doesn't it? You know, a person that is focusing upon things they don't have or what they're not able to do, it can bring you down physically. And so another good reason to keep reading the scriptures, right? And the things we're going to talk about this morning, Lord willing, are things there are things that can be found in many places in the scriptures because it's a theme that the Lord would have us to hear over and over and over. And so as we think about then, there's no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It's an interesting thing about a tidbit from history about the horse. In history, and especially in that day, horses were used almost entirely for battle. You know, they had their burros and camels to carry loads. They had oxen that could pull the plow and pull the carts and things like that. So, and as far as riding, they rode burros and camels occasionally and mules. Okay, but the horse was primarily for war. Now, isn't that interesting? So when you think about that and think back in that era, and then as you're reading the scriptures, by the way, go ahead and you know, tuck that away in your mind, and then as you're reading the scriptures and you come across those references to the horse, then understand that in that day, it was primarily for battle. So when we read this that says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but you see the tendency to trust in the strength of an army. And what do we remember about Pharaoh's army? It's horses and chariots, right? Okay. So it was, you know, it was common for an army to trust in their strength based upon the number of horses and chariots they might have in their army. I mean, that would allow them to cover vast distances and things like that. So understand that when you read what it says, that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. In that word safety, if you think about it for just a moment and enlarge upon it, in that word safety, you're going to find not only safety, but escape and deliverance and victory. If the Lord would bless us this morning, I want to look at that theme. Safety, escape or deliverance, and victory. By the way, about the horses, Deuteronomy 17 forbid the children of Israel from multiplying horses. You know, it speaks of the time when they would enter into the land and that they would have a king, and there was this principle there in Deuteronomy 17 to warn that that king would not multiply horses, because again they would be tempted to put their trust in that instead of trusting in the strength of the Lord. Now I've read to you from Proverbs, and Solomon himself disobeyed that principle and multiplied horses to himself. Now think about this for just a moment. I don't want to impugn Solomon for any more than what the scriptures give us, but just think about it. What do you think about when you think of Solomon? Wisest man that ever lived, right? As far as natural men are concerned. And yet this wisdom that he had did not keep him from making grievous errors, did it? All right? So that's why safety is of the Lord. Our help, our wisdom, our counsel, all of those things needs to come from the Lord. You know that, don't you? But I want to put together some scriptures this morning, if the Lord would bless us for a little while, to notice how that we are to use that whenever we're faced with those times that would cause us to be anxious, cause us to be troubled, cause us to realize or cause us to think that you know, troubles are greater than they are. We do live in perilous times, by the way. We do live in a time where you just really, it's hard to trust the things that you're hearing in the media and things like that. The things just don't add up whenever you hear those things, and then you see other things, and it just doesn't add up. So we live in perilous times. But the constant we have, and the greatest blessing we have, is that we can trust the Lord. And he's already given us the counsel that we need that will help us through all the times that we'll face in this life. So we don't need any new truth, do we? I suspect, though, that the truth that God's already given would be new to a lot of folks if they just take the time to read the Word of God. All right? Okay, so safety is of the Lord. The Lord told Moses back in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Let that sink in for just a second. He's the one that goes before you, goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You know, you can go back into the Old Testament or look at the Old Testament and see how the Lord was showing the children of Israel how much he loved them. You know, he brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them from that mighty army of the Egyptians. He delivered them and brought them out into the wilderness. And in many respects, he brought them out to that wilderness where there was nothing for them to have, and yet God provided all that they stood in need of. Now, isn't that wonderful to think about? All right, and all of that is a picture to us today, to the church today, of how the Lord loves taking care of his children. All right, so we understand they had a law. We understand that that law had blessings and penalties. We understand that that law guided them and was good for them as long as they followed that law. And as long as they trusted in the Lord and looked to him for the wisdom and the guidance that they needed, they were blessed. Well, is it any different today? I mean, when you read about the law in the Old Testament, what your mind should do is adjust as far as our day is concerned and think about the Bible. Think about the Word of God. They had the Word of God and the law in that day, in that dispensation, but we've got the New Testament and the glorious message of the gospel today. And so whether we're thinking about the Old Testament or the New, it is the Word of God. It is the instruction and the counsel that we need, and it is that where we're safe. Because, as we said, no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. It just won't stand. All right? So our safety is in following the counsel of the Lord. And so every time Israel trusted God, they were blessed. They were delivered. Now, I didn't say they were delivered every time, because there were times when they went out trusting in their own strength, right? Remember when they went up against Jericho, the walls fell down flat. What a wonderful deliverance that was, wasn't it? And then right after that, they decided, well, we're going to go out against Ai, this little city. It doesn't matter. We'll just send a few of our soldiers because it's just a little city. Well, there was a problem there. More than one problem, actually, really. When you stop and think about it, first of all, they decided it was just a little city and they were well able to defeat it. All right, well, that was their first problem. But also something else was, when they defeated Jericho, they were told there were things they shouldn't take. You remember a man by the name of Achan? He took something, a wedge of gold and a Babylonian garment. He took some things that he should not have done. Oh, and it got worse than that. There were others in the children of Israel that knew that he did that. He went and hid it in his stuff. You know, that's a proper Bible word, stuff. Achan wouldn't hit it in his stuff, in his tent. And there were others of the children of Israel that knew about it, and they wouldn't say anything. God was not pleased with Israel at that point. And when they sent just a few of their soldiers out against the little city of Ai, they were defeated. Why? Because God wasn't pleased. They had taken of the accursed thing. And until they remedied that situation, they weren't going to have any more victories. So they had to deal with that situation. All right? The point is, when we're trusting in the Lord and following his way, we can trust him for deliverance. We can trust him for safety. We can trust him for victory. But if we're not following the Lord, then we're going to suffer for it. Going to suffer for it. All right. Now, the counsel that we need. Now, we talked about what the Lord told Moses. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. See the point? The love that God has for his people moves him to save them. Now, he's done that for us today by sending his son, hasn't he? And we can rejoice in that every day. But it's his desire also to save us each day in the troubles that we face. And as long as we're looking to him, then he's there for us. All right? So what we think about then, when we understand it's God's will to deliver us, it's God's will to save us, it's God's will to be with us and to help us all along the way, that helps us to understand the love that he has for us. You know, how do you view God? Do you view him as the Almighty upon his throne who executes judgment? Or do you see him as your loving heavenly Father? Now, there are many aspects of God, and yes, he is one who judges, but he's committed all judgment unto his Son. All right? And he deals with us because of the work of Christ, because Christ saved us and satisfied the just demands of God's holy law. Because of what Christ has done, bless your hearts, he looks upon us as his children. Now, he still disciplines. He still chastens when we're out of the way. But we're still blessed for Jesus' sake. And when you read the Old Testament, there are like verses like this, where he talks about all the things that he does to save us. Bless your hearts. We can think of what all that he does for us each day. Now, this counsel, this instruction, if you also go to the book of Joshua, and I'm trying to lay a foundation here of this teaching that we found in Proverbs. The Lord told Joshua, and you'll find this in Joshua 1 and 8. He said, the book of this law, and Moses is out of the picture, isn't he? Moses has passed away. So when you read the book of Joshua, you find the Lord instructing Joshua on how to lead the children of Israel. All right? You know, it must have been quite an adjustment. After all that the Lord used Moses in doing in leading the children of Israel, it must have been quite an adjustment after Moses died in following Joshua. And I'm satisfied Joshua felt the weight of that work as well. But when the Lord appeared to Joshua and began to talk to him, he said, Be of strong and of good courage. Several times in that first chapter, he tells Joshua to do this. The message is, well, he begins by saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, that's true. But if you read between the lines, the message is, God is saying, I'm still alive. And I'm the one that instructed Moses, and I'm the one that can instruct you. Do you know it's the same today? God can still, he is still instructing us primarily through his word, but the leadership of his Holy Spirit is also there to be a blessing to us, to help us each day as we look for the counsel of the Lord. All right? So what do we read in Joshua? He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, notice that, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. That's good counsel. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Not necessarily putting money in the bank, but prospering in the way of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that the Lord sees that we need will be growing in those areas. All right? But then, meditating upon the law. Doesn't that sound a lot like Psalm 1? How David talked about, blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Isn't that the counsel we need each day? That keeps our mind and our heart set upon a God who is able, a God who loves us, a God who provides for us, a God who's there to take care of us and to defend us, to deliver us, and to give us the victories that we need in life to enjoy the kingdom of God that we have while we wait for Jesus to come back to take us home to be with him. That's what we need every day. We get so caught up in the things of this world, we forget about the help that we have, that the Lord is our risen and returning Savior, but he's also our reigning Savior today. Bless your hearts, and he reigns over all. And so that's the counsel we need, to meditate upon his word, his law, day and night. Isn't that what we need? All right. So then he says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success. Now that's a principle we need to remember every day. So, as we treasure this up, as we think about the words of the Lord, as we follow the leadership of the Spirit, it helps us to be prepared against the battle, right? Because those verses in Proverbs told us not to trust in horses. You know, not to multiply those, not to put our trust there, but to trust in the Lord. For in the Lord is our safety. All right? And so in the Lord, in his word, the leadership of his Spirit, that's what we need to face the battle. We've spent weeks in recent months going through what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church at Ephesus about the armor of God. The armor of God, how we can prepare for this battle that we face. We are still in a battle every day, aren't we? That warfare between the flesh and the spirit, that warfare that Satan would continually try to discourage us and to draw us off the path, we need that. We need it for ourselves. We need it for our families. We need it for our church. We need it for our community. Whatever it is, we need the instruction from God's word to prepare us against the battle that's there, whether you realize it or not. Whether you're thinking about the battle that we face each day, it's there. And it's taking its toll. And if we're not doing anything to resist it, then it's changing us. It's drawing us away from God. Oh, we need the instruction of God's word each day. So if you remember in Ephesians 6, Paul said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? To stand. Be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right? So that tells us where our safety is. That tells us how we can escape much of the hurt that would come upon us otherwise. And it tells us where the victory is, in trusting in the Lord, depending upon what he gives us. And a big part of what he gives us in that armor of God is faith. Faith. Remember what he said about the shield of faith? Taking the shield of faith? He said, above all. Now that's noteworthy. Above all, taking the shield of faith. He's not saying that this is the highest of the armor. But what he is saying is that we need faith in every aspect of using the armor and facing the battle. We need faith every breath that we breathe, don't we? We need faith in trusting God. We need faith in believing His Word. We need faith to enable us to be able to follow Him and do that which would be pleasing in His sight. So Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith. We spent a lot of time recently on that. But faith, listen, it's something that God gives us, gives to His children when we're born again, right? All right? And it helps us, it helps to equip us, but it's also the Spirit working within us, leading our mind and our heart into His truth, reminding us of His promises, His Spirit working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that's by faith, all right? And faith is the gift of God. He gives us, He loves us so much that He's given us faith that we can follow Him and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Now, John has something to say about that too. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. John says it this way. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We're talking about a lot of things that we face, a lot of things that come against us. And John tells us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I'm sure there's a lot more about the whatsoever instead of whosoever. I'm sure there's a lot more there than I understand. But I do see that what we have, he's not talking about someone who's able to stand in their own strength. There's something different here. It's not natural strength. It's not natural wisdom. It's not natural ability. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Let me ask you a question. As you've gone through this past week, do you feel like that there's temptations over which temptations you've faced in which you've overcome them? I hope you have. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's a timely aspect here, but we also carry in mind that the fact that if the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins, then there is nothing that can eternally separate us. Now, I added the word eternally. Romans 8 talks about there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? We understand that nothing can eternally separate us from God if we're safe in the blood of Jesus. But this day-to-day battle that we face is another story. This day-to-day battle that we face, we've got to be active. We've got to be engaged. We've got to be remembering the things of the Lord and the principles that He teaches us so that we can overcome those temptations that we face each day. And He's helped us. He's provided us with His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's planted faith within us in the new birth. And so that helps us, doesn't it? All right? And it's the help that we need to deliver us, to keep us safe, to deliver us, and to give us the victories that we need. All right? There's more to that verse. Whosoever is born of God, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our, what? Faith. Even our faith. But listen, again, I caution you. Don't put too much stock in what you are able to do of yourself. He has given us that faith. It pleases Him for us to use that faith. But bless your hearts, it's Him working in us. It's us depending upon Him and trusting in Him and looking to Him for all that we need. That's where the power comes from, isn't it? It's of God. Safety, safety is of the Lord. All right? Excuse me. All right. Then verse 5 in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? Really? Really? All right, I've got a question for you now. If somebody has been watching you all week, would they say the same thing? I'm not trying to get after you. I'm just wanting you to think about these things. All right? If somebody's been walking, watching your walk, if somebody's been hearing your speech, if somebody's been seeing the things that you choose to do, would they say that person believes in the Son of God? See, that light needs to be shining. That love needs to be fervent. Those promises and those principles need to be in the forefront of our mind. That's how we overcome. When we remember all that Jesus has done for us, when we remember that our safety is in Him and it's of the Lord, it's not of ourselves, that's when we can rejoice. That's when we can trust. That's when we continue to look to Him for all that we stand in need of. It is not of ourselves. He's blessed us with it. He's a personal God. We have a lot to do in the way of choices that we make. Bless your hearts. The overcoming of those temptations is the remembrance of where our help comes. It's of the Lord. Not trusting in ourselves, not trusting in anything else, but trusting in the Lord who loves us and gave His Son to die for our sins. Sometimes life's tough, though, isn't it? You know, I'm giving you the mark. Paul said we press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm setting the mark before you. But I know sometimes life's hard. Sometimes we're so pressed with the things of this world, the demands that are put upon us. Sometimes they're so that it draws our attention away from the Lord. Sometimes life's hard. But do you remember what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 10:13? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, I said what Paul told us. We understand the Spirit moved him. You know, I was thinking about that a lot this week. This is before we get into 1 Corinthians 10:13. When we started from Proverbs, the Lord inspired His Word. We understand Solomon was the writer, the penman, if you will. But the Holy Ghost was the one that moved these men of old to write the Scriptures, gave them what to write. Okay? It wasn't of the writers themselves, was it? Because, and what made me pause and consider was this principle about how that even though Solomon wrote for us in Proverbs that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety's of the Lord, he violated the very principle that was given back in Deuteronomy about multiplying horses in their army. So when we, I guess I need to try to get out of the habit of saying so-and-so wrote for us. The Holy Ghost moved them. But we're not talking about they had the wisdom. We're talking about what God says in His Word, regardless of what that person, that writer, may have done later, like Solomon. Solomon got off into error and made grievous mistakes. Doesn't mean he was no longer a child of God, but it does mean he was a disobedient child of God. All right? But bless your hearts, God's word is there to instruct us. God's word is there to encourage us. And it's the counsel we need, because the ungodliness of this world will not stand against God. Now, what do we find in 1 Corinthians 10:13? When life is hard, remember this. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Doesn't that warm your heart? God is faithful. That means regardless of what we're going through, we can trust God. His counsel is what we need. The leadership of His Spirit is what we need. We need His Spirit working in us, showing us the truth, showing us what we need to do. All right, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. All right, God is faithful, who will not suffer you. Now, pause. Who will not suffer you. Sounds like to me, God loves us. And He's right there for us. His help is right there. Whatever you're facing, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Wow. You hear what He's saying? That tells me that whatever we face in life, it's not too much for us. I know a lot of folks will argue with that. A lot of folks just will not accept the truth of this scripture. But if we trust that God is faithful, if we trust that His word is true, trust, faith, if we lay hold upon that truth, there's safety. There's a way of escape. And He goes on to say that. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Why? That ye may be able to bear it. Now, think with me. Let's just go get a passage out of Scripture. What about Job? Do you remember all that Job went through? Lost his herds, his family, and his health. Have you ever stopped to think about and have you thought recently what all brother Job suffered? You know, it's one thing to lose material things, but every second of the day he was suffering with the bodily afflictions that he had. And he trusted God. You know what his wife said? Don't you curse God and die. Now, I'm not saying that's a trait of wives. I'm just saying that's what the word says. Okay? And the lesson there is what was very likely the closest person on the face of the earth was urging him, give up on God. Is that good counsel? That's straight from the devil, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, if you're ever weak and cast down and tired, you can expect some of that to come from the devil. because he knows when you're, he knows what your vulnerability is. Whether it's a vulnerability in times when you're strong or whether you're weak and cast down, and he comes in that way. Whatever the case might be, the truth of God's word says he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see God's love for us? You see his will for us? That he provides, he's actively providing ways for us to escape the temptations we face. And the greatest provision of it is faith within us. That's not of ourselves. He gave it to us. And he gives us the leadership of his Spirit. We've got the help we need to face whatever we're facing in this life. But we need to be listening to the right counsel. We need to be remembering that our safety is in the Lord. And victory is in faithfulness to his will. Faithfulness to his will. What else do we find in Scripture? Well, we talked about life sometimes gets hard. And I know some of you have been through some terrible trials. And you could probably speak of this better than I can. I've had trials, but nothing like I've seen in other people's lives. I haven't had to battle cancer most all of my life. I haven't faced many of the trials that other people have. But whether I have or not doesn't change the truthfulness of God's word. We can counsel, we can give counsel to others based upon the truth of what God's word says. And so when life gets hard, we need those verses like 1 Corinthians 10:13. We need those other verses that encourage us. We need to remember that Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, maybe I don't, but I know what the word says. Be of good cheer. Why? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. What he did for us goes far beyond what we face on a daily basis. What he did for us has secured already our eternal salvation. Nothing can separate us from that. And so that's our standing before God. We're safe in the blood of Jesus. And so we get up in the morning and we start our day. And if we would take good heed to this counsel, if we take some time to remind ourselves of the promises of God, if we'll take some time to remind ourselves of how God tells us that we should be living our life, to stay in the center of his will, to feel his presence in our life, to feel the leadership of his Holy Spirit, all of those things that we need. Bless your hearts, if we can start our day that way and continue our day with the leadership of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit so that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh, as Paul told the Galatian brethren. If we can walk in that way, by faith, we can overcome those temptations. By faith, Jesus, when he was tempted, remember he quoted Scripture. You got some Scriptures in hand? You got some Scriptures handy that you know by heart, that you can quote in your times of temptation? Be a good thing to have in your bag. You know, David had those 5 smooth stones. He didn't need but one, did he? I've heard a lot of preaching about what all those 5 represented. I think the best thing I understand from the Scriptures is that Goliath had 4 brothers. And he might need some more of those stones. But if you want to think about it in a different way, that's fine. But listen, we need something. And we need to arm ourselves with God's word above all else. Taking the shield of faith, strengthening us, helping us, because we know that Satan is after us every day. And sometimes we come short. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we make mistakes. Is it all over? Remember 1 John 1:9? So I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today, but as we pondered this subject, and this is the best thing we can arm ourselves with, is the Word of God. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, if we make a mistake, if we come short, if we stumble along the way, it's not over. God loves us. He may not love what we did. He doesn't love what we, if it's an error, he doesn't love what we did. But he loves us, and Jesus has already paid for our sins. And so he tells us we have good counsel on what to do in those situations if we confess our sins. Now, you know, that's a mountain that some people never climb. Because pride gets in the way. But he tells us, if we confess our sins, he already knows it. You're not going to acquaint him with anything. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. I love those words. He is faithful to forgive us. That's what's standing in between us and closer fellowship with the Lord. We've made a mistake. We need to confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Oh, not only is he faithful, we know he is, but he's just. In other words, that's the right thing. Get this. The right thing for him to do if we confess our sin is to forgive us. And why is it right? Because Jesus already paid for our sins. He's our mediator. There's one mediator to bring God to men, the man, Christ Jesus. He bore our sins to the tree. We could never do that. We could never pay for one sin. He paid for them all freely by his love and his grace. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. Oh. Now he legally, we're cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus. But this conscience of ours needs purging from time to time. We need washing by the Word of God, don't we? We need that washing every day. And that's what he's talking about in the blood of Jesus cleanseth. When we're trusting in the blood of Christ for our forgiveness, that our conscience is purged. We're cleansed from that. We can get up and go again. And aren't you glad God's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances? Not that that gives us a license to sin, but when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what should we say then? I know time's about gone. Time is gone, isn't it? So what do we say about it? If we think about it, if we add it all up, if we do like we've been studying in James, and count it all joy, when we count it all up, when we add it up, when we, as Paul says in Romans 8, as we reckon, as we add this all up, what does that mean for us? If we think about the counsel we need is of the Lord, our safety is in the Lord. And that safety not only is safety for the moment, but it's also our deliverance. It's also the victory. In Romans chapter 8, such a rich chapter, isn't it? I mean, we could just stay a long time in Romans chapter 8, couldn't we? All right? But Paul asks, after he'd stated these wonderful principles, he asks the question, what shall we then say to these things? And that's what we're talking about. When we add it all up, what do we know? You know, if we keep in memory the things that we know, if we keep in memory the things that God's Word teaches us, if we keep in memory the gospel of our salvation, if we keep in memory God's love for us, and that's what provided His Son for our sins, what should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now our text, when we began, said there's no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. We know there's a lot that comes against us. We know there's a lot of ungodliness. We know there's a lot of things that's just not right that we have to deal with in the world every day. But it will not stand against the Lord. And so Paul said, was led by the Spirit to say, what should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's why we've got help in the hour of temptation. He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that which we're able. He'll give us those things that we stand in need of for Jesus' sake. There's forgiveness when we confess our sins for Jesus' sake. What should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to close with one more passage very quickly. 1 Corinthians 15. If we keep this, and by the way, that's how this chapter began, wasn't it? Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, by which also you stand, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain. Keeping these things in memory will help us each day, won't it? All right? Here's a passage I want you to keep in memory. The last part of 1 Corinthians 15. Because we've spent the bulk of our time, though we touched on the eternal security that we have in our Lord, the battle that we face every day is what grabs our attention the most. And we need to give the most attention too. But we all the while, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. When the Father spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. If we remember that, I'll tell you, that's the greatest encouragement we can find against the temptations that we face in this life, the security we have in him. Now, in the interest of time, let's just begin in verse 55. Paul has been teaching the lengthiest lesson in all of Scripture about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And bless your hearts, the resurrection changed everything, didn't it? Bless your heart, when Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Remember that. But then he died. Then he rose again. And so the truth comes forth. Because I live, ye shall live also. He arose, showing his power over death and sin. Power over it. All right? So in verse 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? You know, there's some insects, scorpions, things like that, that have a stinger. What is that stinger for? Yeah, sting you. It's to inject poison. Death, where is thy sting? Where's your poison, death? The soul that sinneth shall die. That's a universal principle, isn't it? But then Jesus in the purpose of God, Jesus was sent into this world to save his people from their sins. Sin had caused death to come into the world, right? Romans 5:12. All right. Sin brought death into the world. And the sting, the poison of sin is death. Death passed upon all men. But where is that poison today? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless your hearts, that poison no longer has any power. Oh, we still die. But if we're safe in the blood, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. If Jesus had not come forth from the grave, this would be meaningless. Our faith would be in vain. We would have no hope. We'd be of all men most miserable. But bless your hearts, Jesus came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Death, where is thy sting? Death, sin brought death into the world. All right? Death, oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? Without Jesus, without the resurrection, that's where we'd be. Right? We die and go to our grave, awaiting the resurrection. And we would die in our sins. And the sting of death would be upon us. And the penalty of our sins would still be upon us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? But, don't you love the buts in the scripture so oftentimes? But, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternally, we're safe in the blood of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll keep that in memory, if you'll remind yourself of that every day, it'll save you in the hour of temptation. It'll strengthen you to understand Jesus already died for our sins. We need to be trusting in Him, following Him, for there's the counsel that we need to trust in Him at all times. And so as He said this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then that last verse of that chapter exhorts us to take that glorious principle of what Jesus accomplished for us and let it be assurance and confidence in your daily life to help you to overcome the temptations that we face each day. He says, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's nothing that you've ever sincerely done for His glory that was in vain. Nothing that you'll ever do in trusting Him will be in vain. And we always have to submit ourselves to His will, and His timetable is oftentimes not ours, isn't it? But we trust Him. We trust His word. We trust the counsel that we receive of the Lord, knowing that safety is of the Lord. And the victory is ours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope I've stirred your mind this morning and stirred your heart. I hope you've got something you can carry with you when you leave this place and be better equipped to face the temptations of life, to be encouraged in God's love, the faith that He's given us, the faithfulness of Him to watch over us and to keep us in the hour of temptation. May God help us to trust in Him and serve Him with gladness of heart. Enjoy that peace and fellowship with Him each day. May God bless you, is our prayer.